We're good? Fired up. Numbers 20, 21. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. You know, I don't like to go real long. I know we're tired. It's been a long time. But this is so important. We must grasp this for the altar service that's going to follow. The life of Jesus. I love that song. I sing it a lot. I'm not going to do it now because my voice is especially bad right now. I was hoping I could get Raina to sing it for me, but... Verse 4, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient and they spoke against God and against Moses saying, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. God brought them out of Egypt. They were slaves. They were being beaten and they were made to serve with rigor. Life was terrible. They cried out bitterly to God and he brings them out. Are we recording? Is this good? Okay. And they're complaining. But we have nothing on them because God saved us from our sin and we still fuss and whine and cry and carry on. There's no bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He who feeds on me will live forever. We say the same thing. There's no water. We're at the washing of the water of the word. They didn't have a word. They didn't have a word. How many Bibles do we own? And how many of us own a lot of Bibles? They had no Bible. They had no Bible. Wasn't happening for them. And we detest this miserable food. How many of us have said, I wished we could see manna? And they said, we detest this miserable food. The bread from heaven. How many of us have despised what goes on at church? I don't mean the misconduct, burden of the Lord. I don't really want to get up and come to church. I'm tired today. I really don't want this. I don't like it because it's too hot. I don't like it because it's too cold. We all have our whining, our fussing, our complaining. All right. When we get to come to church and have the living bread presented right out of the pages of His Word, uncut and unadulterated, and we get to get it in the presence of God with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Then the Lord set venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. Know what it says about us? Many are weak and sick among you because we don't properly discern the Lord, and many of us have fallen asleep. Isn't that what it says about the New Testament church? The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So the Lord prayed for the people. Did Moses just do what he wanted? Did Moses just make up some fiction out of his mind? Oh, I'll just hang a snake up on a pole. That'll work, yeah. Did Moses decide for himself what to do? No, Moses got a word from God. Moses went to the Lord and he got a word from God. You see, when the venomous snakes come into your life, you got to quit worrying about other people. You got to quit listening to the advice that comes from Sunday believers who are not following this way of life and who are not firmly. You got to quit listening to people who keep the Torah but don't have the Holy Ghost. You've got to go to the Lord when the venomous snakes come and you've got to say, Adonai Yeshua, what must I do to repent and get back in good graces with you? The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. And anyone who is bitten on the snake can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on top of a pole. And when anyone was bitten by the snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Was there life in the snake? No. That bronze snake represents Yeshua Messiah on the cross because he had to become sin for us. He had to become the sin for us. That anyone that accepts and believes and receives his life will live. Are you ready today to accept and receive his life? Are you ready to turn away? I mean, they had to repent. They came back and said, we're sorry, we grumbled. We're sorry we grumbled. We repent. We return to the Lord. We return back to Torah. We will submit our will and yield to you, Lord. Are we ready to do that? Because that's what's required. We still don't have the life because we're still grumbling. We still don't have the life because we still grumble about keeping God's laws and commandments. We still grumble when we face persecution under the word. We still grumble when people don't like a move of the Holy Spirit. I don't like their prayer language. Jesus Christ gives the prayer language that He wants, to whom He wants, and how He wants. Who are any of us to say we don't like somebody? I mean, that was one of the more noxious complaints I ever heard. I don't like their prayer language. That doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit to me. When have any of us stood there at the altar of incense with Yeshua Messiah when He pours it on that person to be talking junk about someone's prayer language? Oh, I think they're faking it in the Holy Spirit. Wow, man. We're grumbling against the Holy Spirit because we don't like the way it manifests in somebody else. You ever wonder maybe God gave them that way just to test your faith? I didn't like mine, to be honest with you, for a long time. I used to hear all these people pray so beautifully. They pray so beautifully in the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's so wonderful. I got my God, I go, God, why don't you give me something eloquent? Why don't you give me something that sounds wonderful? Because you speak well enough, just deal with it. Okay, I got it. Who are we to grumble? But we do grumble because we're not looking at Yeshua Messiah. Because you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. Who are we to question somebody else's prayer language? Who are we to question somebody else's move of God? God has already demonstrated through His prophets in this place that those people that fake it will receive their own judgment. So who are we to judge? Rather, why aren't we seeking our own God encounter? When someone gets an ordination or someone gets to see something at the throne of God or someone gets caught up in the third heavens, we ought to be celebrating it with them. Knowing that if we're diligent children of God and we press in to do the things He's told us to do, we will receive from Him what we're due in the proper time. The Lord tells me all the time, you know, this one and not that one, over here but not there. And I'm like, but they're going to be unhappy. Sure they are. But the Lord says, until I tell you it's ripe, you don't pick. And He showed me picking out of the garden. You don't pick the stuff that's half ripe. You pick it when it's ready. John chapter 3. Some people object to too much word. That's too much word, Pastor. You're stuffing them. They're going to choke. Some people object to too much worship. Do you have to do an hour of songs? Why can't we just do 30 minutes like that other church? You know what we do an hour? Because even the hardest heart starts breaking down after 45 minutes. And we at least caught them for 15 while they were paying attention. Some people come in with an attitude about the music. Had some leave in Paris this last week. Second song, man, half the people just jumped up and ran for the door. I'm like, that wasn't even a bad song. Wasn't even a bad song. It was one of the happy songs that Kyra picked a couple years ago. It was an easy song. You jump up and run out on that. Man, if we'd have stayed for Light It Up, they'd have really had problems. We want to get rid of the grumbling. The whole purpose of this exercise in God's Spirit dwelling in our flesh is so that we will develop the living character of God Almighty in our flesh. The whole point of the exercise is that you can use the Spirit of God to learn how to obey under duress so that you will develop the character of the Father in your person. That's all He's going to resurrect. Some of y'all, that was some heavy preaching. He's only going to resurrect His character living in you. He's not resurrecting anything else. If you don't have His character living in you, you're going to be mighty skinny in the kingdom. And it ain't a place you want to be skinny. You want to be large and in charge, brother. That's right. You want to fill your person with the character of the living God. Because that's what's important in this life. We need His life living in us. And He doesn't complain. Think about that one for a minute. God doesn't complain. God gets in and moves to develop His character in the lives of His children. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Everything else is irrelevant. All that matters is the character of the living God being developed in your heart, mind, and soul by obeying under duress. And you know, consecration is very much like it. Consecration comes from being willing to follow those extra rules in the Torah for holiness under duress. You're in a body of mud. Mud doesn't like heat. It likes cold and wet. You're in a body of mud. But for a body of mud to become pottery, it has to go through a little heat. How much heat you're willing to undergo, how much duress you're willing to obey God with determines what kind of vessel you are. In a large house, there are many vessels. Some are ignoble and some are very noble. Some are for great use and important use, and some are the clay pots in the yard. You know, the clay pots are baked at a low heat, and when they break, nobody cares. Come on, we all have red terracotta clay pots and plants in them. Come on, I'm the only one who did that. Come on. When you want the dinnerware that you eat off of every day, it's got to be fired at a much hotter heat so that you have plates and utensils and you give them a little more care than the clay pots you put the flowers in. Fine china goes through heat that fires it almost to the point of glass, and that you keep in a display case and only bring it out for special occasions. How much of the heat of trials are you willing to go through with the power of God's Spirit making you willing to obey under duress? Because that's going to determine whether you're for noble use or ignoble use. You make that choice. You know, one of the most profound revelations that Coleman Collins got, again, very soon after he started coming here, was they were going along a road and he saw this picket fence. And there were pickets missing every so often. Then he noticed people were carrying their cross. But some people were sitting by the fence. And then he realized the fence wasn't a fence. It was crosses that no one was willing to bear. And they were sitting at the base of their crosses crying because they didn't want to bear their cross, grumbling and complaining to God for what He had given them. And others were carrying their cross, probably me, grumbling and fussing at what they had to bear. But other people were singing praise songs of joy to God. And they were the ones that got up on Golgotha and got to put their cross up there first, best, and happiest. I don't know what you got to go through in your life to get you where God wants you, but He does. And He's willing to take you through every single step required to take you and make you the man or woman of God He wants you to be. We've got to learn how to quit grumbling and complaining and start praising Him through the trial and letting the Holy Spirit do its job of refining us and burning us and firing us into the men and women of God so that His character is what remains. And we need His life in us to do that. John chapter 3. Verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. We like the verse after, but we don't like these two right here. Those who looked on the snake lived in the desert. And He's saying that just as that snake was lifted up, He's going to be lifted up. And that if we will have the actions that follow the mental acknowledgement, that we will have eternal life. Do you want life in you? Because you can only get it from Yeshua Messiah. And He gives it to whomsoever He will. People say, well, you know, I wanted thus and such. I didn't get it when I wanted it. That doesn't mean stop pressing in. That means keep pressing in until you get it. Perseverance wins the day. We've got to press in for the things of God and never be willing to back off no matter what we go through until we get what we desire. Not that we're going to force it on God, but you know, God's got stuff for every one of us and He desires you have it. But you know, maybe part of your test is seeing how long you'll persevere. How long will you flag and waver when it doesn't come when you feel like it? Are you going to grumble when you carry the cross? Or are you going to praise Him all the way? 1 John. We just assume that we're born again because we said a sinner's prayer. I don't know why. There's no such thing as a sinner's prayer in this Bible. At no point have I ever seen a prayer that says you pray this prayer and Jesus is going to come into you and make you His child. At no point do I see that in here. Peter said, repent and be baptized in water and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. That's the Bible formula. And repentance means to return to Torah. It does not say this nice little prayer, I accept the Lord Jesus in my heart to be my Savior. It's not in there. You got a Bible formula. We want to short circuit the formula and do it our way. And then we go back to God and we start grumbling and complaining because He didn't do everything according to the way we said it had to be done. Well, I got news for everybody. He's not going to back it up every time we do it our way when we didn't do it the way He said it had to be done. He backs it up when we do it the way He said it had to be done. If we'll follow His instructions, it will never fail. Why? Because His Word's not going to fail. His Word will not return to Him void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which He sent it out. And just like seed for the sower and bread for the eater, the water falls on the earth, and that's the power of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the last days to water the bread of the Word to make the life of Yeshua in you. And when we follow His pattern and we do it the way He said, He will back that up and you will walk away not wondering whether you got eternal life, but knowing it lives in your flesh. I talked to a friend of mine in a Sunday church, and he was saying, I just hope against all hope somehow I'm going to make it in the kingdom of God. I stopped there for a minute, and I'm thinking, brother, didn't you get saved? Oh, yeah. Well, either the sacrifice of Yeshua is good enough to get you in the kingdom, or it's not. It's either good enough or it's not, but you see, he didn't follow the protocol of heaven. He didn't do it God's way. He did it man's way, and that leaves him with doubt because there was not a demonstration of the Spirit's power to confirm the deposit. When you do it God's way, there's a demonstration of the Spirit's power to confirm that you have the earnest of the down payment. Another place it says that you have the engagement ring. You know you're getting married when you got the ring. Come on, some of y'all have listened to Dr. Laura. I'm not the only one who listened to Dr. Laura. What's she always telling you, ladies? Get a ring and a date. She's always telling you, don't do this and this and this with the man until you get a ring and a date. Ring and a date. Ring and a date. I'm getting married. Do you have a ring and a date? No. Then you're not getting married. Ring and a date. I got a ring and a date. Y'all didn't get that. I got a ring. He's giving me a date. I got a ring and a date. I know I'm getting married. I don't have doubt. I'm not confused. I don't lay awake at night wondering if, then, maybe. I've gone through the steps. And for all the people sitting here in hungry hearts, you know that I labor among you to take you through the steps, the old-fashioned way, the old-school way, so that when you have the ring and a date, you won't be wondering whether I'm in the right church or whether the power of God's going to manifest in my life or whether it's going to work out, because you come in holy day after holy day and you participate. You're not watching an outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power. You're participating. One here, one there, over here, over here. You're watching your friends get it. You're getting it on occasion as well. And you know God is walking among us in the camp. And you know when you live under His laws and commandments and you feel the heat and the distress and the problems that you go through over it, you feel the character being refined in you. It's not you're wondering if it's being refined in you. You feel that gold forming up in the smelter. 1 John chapter 1. verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes. Have you seen with your eyes? Have you heard His voice? Have you seen Him with your eyes? Come on. Seen with your eyes? Then you know, right? Then you know, right? Then you know, right? Which we have looked at and our hands have touched. How many of you have been touched at one time? Now raise your hand. Look around. I want you to see the hands. I want you to see the hands of the people that have been touched. You can't convince them it's not real now. You can come against them with all the great arguments you want to, but the man with an experience will never be at the mercy of a man who only has an argument. When you've been touched by the Lord, you know it's Him, and no one will ever be able to tell you, oh, that was an hallucination. How do you know it was the Lord? Somebody must have put their hand. You were just dreaming that. And everybody would, eyes be like, the Lord. This is not about mere intellect. Oh, there's plenty of it. I mean, there's plenty of good study and intellect. This is about bringing you into a place of yada with the one and only. That's the way John records it in John's gospel. The one and only who's from the Father. Because you know what? It's like I told Kelly when he first came. If I can get you in that place in the throne room of God where you have intimate personal contact with you, my work is mostly done from there. Because He'll teach you all. Those who learn from the Father come to Me. You have an anointing on you from the Holy Ghost that no man need teach you. I just got to get you to the place where you can recognize the anointing. And where you can see your Savior. Because I know that Yeshua's never going to tell you the law's done away. I know Yeshua's never going to tell you you don't have to keep the Sabbath. I know Yeshua's never going to tell you you can put in what you want in your mouth. Because He lived a perfectly sinless life. And I know that when you're hearing from His voice and He's teaching you, it's always going to line up with Scripture. And I know that you will share all good things with your instructor. And that you will come back to Me with a revelation in the Word of God that I don't know about, and that the body will grow, and that everybody will demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit separately as He manifests in each one. The life appeared. The life appeared. And we have seen it, and we testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. That's not words on a page. We can make the claim because the life has appeared to us. This is not about a word from somebody else's love story. This is from our love story. Confirmed in the Word. Those at the end experiencing what those at the beginning experienced. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. People say, oh, you shouldn't brag about those things. I'm not bragging. I'm proclaiming so you can have some too. We're proclaiming and testifying that He lives and that we've seen and that His words are true and that in Him is no lie. It's all true. Your experience should confirm likewise. So that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Yeshua Messiah. And we write this to make our joy complete. Yeshua is the life. And unless He gives it to any one of us, we don't have it. We assume that because we call ourselves Christians, we have everything that it says. But who are we to get it? Who are we to take it? Who are we to receive it or even turn one hair or one hair black or white without dye? Everything that we need comes from Yeshua. That's why He's the Lord. That's why He's the way, the truth, and the life. And we need that life, and He is the life. We have to get this life from Him. As we've already read, He gives it to whomsoever He wills. This life permanently changes our innermost nature. This life fills us from within like that well of living water. John chapter 6. Hold your place here, though. John chapter 6. He said, the Scriptures don't give you life. They testify about Him so that you can come to Him to get the life. that prepare your flesh to receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which prepares your spirit to receive life. Chapter 6, verse 61. Aware that his disciples were grumbling again. See, don't have life because you're grumbling. Don't have life because I'm grumbling. Don't have life because we're grumbling. Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. What do you care about your car? Drives, don't it? Place it when it quits. Who cares? Who cares about what kind of car you drive? Who cares what kind of house you live in? Who cares about all the things of the world that people want to know? Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth does not corrupt and where rust does not... Hey. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. And he went on to say, that is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. The Father draws you, you can come to him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed. Maybe that way here. You don't want to leave too, do you? Yeshua asked the 12. Shimon Kepha answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and know that you are the Holy One sent from God. Do you believe he's the Holy One sent from God? Do you want the life of Yeshua in you? Do you want to be able to pray it? L'chaim be Yeshua. Huahavoti, huahavoti. Hallelujah. Because you see, you've got to get the life from him. We have not because we ask not. What blew me away about all of this was what he showed me he was going to do in this altar service here today with you. Because some of you are going to receive his life today. I can't fathom that. I've been doing this for 26 years. I cannot fathom an outpouring of the Holy Ghost so powerful and so intense that his life actually goes into human beings. Can you imagine the power that brought Yeshua back from the dead and how permanently impregnated and changed those rocks and that stone tomb must be from that? People go to the stone tomb all the time and record fantastic moves of God because the very rocks were changed. 1 John chapter 3. There always have been and always be people who grumble. We need his life. We need his life in us to overcome the world. He gives his life to those who have an intense personal relationship with him, who love him with all of their heart and will not be persuaded to stop pursuing him. Do you really worship him with all your heart? I mean, we played the Via Hafta the other night. It's part of the commandments of God. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your soul. Are we ready to step up and live it? Do you follow this up by living his word? Can people persuade you out of it? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you had the demonstration of the Spirit's power so that you know? What about the power of a transformed life? What about the power of a transformed life? Can you sing, once I was lost, but now I'm found, and know it from the depth of your soul by the changes that have been made in your life through the years of turning your back on sin and embracing Torah? I'm sorry, John chapter 1. I'm in the wrong place. John chapter 1, this closing verse is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Excuse me. And without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. His life is going to give you light. Like we read earlier, His life is going to take the veil off of your face so that you can understand the Torah and live it. His life is going to open up the power of the Holy Spirit inside you so that you can move and walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, confirming His Word. Hallelujah. It doesn't not confirm His Word, it confirms His Word. There came a man who was sent from God, his name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives life to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made by him, none of us recognized him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, that means there's an action that follows. He gave the right to become the children of God. We read over that. Oh, nice metaphor. Sounds good. No, he gave you the right to be the very sons and daughters of the Father in heaven. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision of our husband's will, but born of God. I didn't make this book up, but that's what it says in your Bible, just like it says it in mine. You got to believe that. You got to believe that word, that you can be born of God, and that Yeshua gave you that right. It's a right. But that means you've got to live like Father. And you've got to follow Father's house rules. Come on. I'm not the only kid that broke Daddy's house rules and got my butt tore up. Come on. You follow Father's house rules and there can be no question about it. Come on. I'm not the only dad that did that. You follow the Father's house rules. Because what happens after that's not cool. The Word became flesh and made His tabernacle among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning Him. He cries out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because He was before me.' From the fullness of His grace," that is the covering needed to make the mistakes while we learn how to walk out Torah. That's what. The Greek word for grace is charisma. The Greek word for grace is charisma. And it means the same thing as the Hebrew word for grace, which is hesed. It is the covering you need when you come into covenant to help you to obey. From it you get the gifts of His grace, which are called the charismata. The charismata are praying in tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healing, administration, and all the others. The charismata come from the covenant love that brings you into covenant with God and covers your transgressions while you're learning how to walk it out. They come to help you walk it out. Praying in tongues comes to help you walk it out. You pray in tongues because that helps you to get the strength. It builds up the inner man. It says you build up your most holy faith when you pray in tongues. When you're praying in tongues, it is building you up to be able to keep the Sabbath when they're coming against you. When you pray in tongues, it's to build you up to resist the pork when they're pushing it on you. When you're praying in tongues, it enables you to say, "I don't care if my checkbook doesn't balance. I don't care if my bills aren't paid. I'm saving my feast tithe because I'm going to keep the feast this year and I'm keeping it the way He told me." Charismata. Help you carry out the charisma. From the fullness of His grace, we've all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moshe. Grace and truth came through Yeshua, Messiah. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side and has made Him known. During His ministry on earth, Yeshua called out to us to become children of the Father. The Father's life in your person makes you His child. We need this life, and it comes to Yeshua, Messiah. Come to Him for life. Go ahead and change the CD, brother. I'm keeping this mic.